Welcome to SEC Sports Roundtable, episode 134, University of Kentucky Wildcats football preview, recorded Wednesday, August 27th, 2014. Tonight, the roundtable tells Shane Bailey he doesn't get to host his own show. Instead, Britton Burton takes over hosting duties and is joined with John Schultz to talk about the Kentucky Wildcats. They look at how Mark Stoops has been able to get so much talent to this program, what the future of the quarterbacking position looks like at Kentucky, and what the on-field performance will look like this season. All this and more on tonight's SEC SRT. Welcome to SEC Sports Roundtable, episode 134, University of Kentucky Wildcats football preview, recorded Wednesday, August 27th, 2014. Tonight, the roundtable tells Shane Bailey he doesn't get to host his own show. Instead, Britton Burton takes over hosting duties and is joined with John Schultz to talk about the Kentucky Wildcats. They look at how Mark Stoops has been able to get so much talent to this program, what the future of the quarterbacking position looks like at Kentucky, and what the on-field performance will look like this season. All this and more on tonight's SEC SRT.
Welcome to SEC Sports Roundtable. I am your guest host, Britton Burton. That's right. Don't adjust your television monitors or your speakers. This is a different host, but don't worry, everyone. Shane Bailey is on board for this podcast, but this is, after all, the University of Kentucky 2014 football season preview, so we can't very well have Shane be the host and be resident expert on the team. Someone's got to ask the questions. Someone's got to answer the questions. So I'll be doing a little bit more of the asking. Shane will be doing a little bit more of the answering this time. While we're talking about that, I guess I'll go ahead and introduce our guest hosts. This time, Shane Bailey is a guest host. Shane, say hello.
Hey, guys. I'm so glad to be here. This is an awesome podcast. I can't believe you guys invited me to be on here. I'm just super excited. I don't know what I'm going to do. Go Cats!
Love the enthusiasm of the first-time guest analyst, Shane Bailey. Also joining us is John Schultz, a resident UT fan. So we'll have a lot of different perspectives on this podcast. John, say hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, everybody, thanks for joining. As we mentioned, this is the 2014 University of Kentucky football season preview. Whether you're joining us on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, on the website, we appreciate you finding us. You can pretty much search SRT, those six letters, in any search engine, and you'll find multiple ways to listen to us. So please join us again. Miss anything, Shane? I want to make sure I got it all in.
Man, you're good. I'm ready to take a vacation.
All right, so with all the housekeeping stuff out of the way, we've done introductions, we've done everything else. Let's start talking about Kentucky football. So, Shane, I'll do like you've done for the rest of us. Just give us a brief sort of synopsis. Don't go all Blair Smiley on us and blow the whole thing in the first 2 minutes here, but tell us a couple minutes about what you expect for the Kentucky football team this season.
Well, I mean, if you look at the lineup, we're pretty stout. We got Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, he's going to be our forward. Marcus Lee's going to – wait. Wrong. Poitras. I mean, we're going to be stacked. We got all those guys coming back. No, that's a lot to be excited about as a Kentucky fan. But when you think about football, realistically, there's still a whole lot that we as Kentucky fans are excited about. I mean, two wins last year wasn't a lot to be boastful about. You know, there's a chance that we can double those. That's going to – I don't want to blow any spoilers on down the way when we look at the schedule. But, you know, there's a really good shot that there's improvement. And that's what you've really seen from – from Stoops coming in here. He's brought a new edge. You're going to have a much stronger defense. He's just an incredible recruiter. You know, some of the stats I was able to just dig up. And what's great about that, the Kentucky recruiting this year is SEC is so hard to go and recruit in. I mean, if you look at the battles you have here with the Georgias and the South Carolinas and the Floridas and the Alabamas, the LSUs and Auburns and all these elite teams down here, even the state of Mississippi, it's hard to recruit in the state of Mississippi with State and Ole Miss there. So Stoops says, y'all can have that. You know, I'm not going to just abandon it. I'm not going to not go down there. But, you know, we've got fertile ground just up north. And he went to Ohio and did really, really well. The first year here, he signed one four-star prospect from Ohio. But when you look at the state of Ohio, there were 19 four-star prospects that came out this year. Ohio State got 7 of them. Kentucky got 5. In the past 5 recruiting classes, UK has only signed 5 four-stars, period. Didn't matter where they came from. So he got 5 in the one state of Ohio. You know, so he was able to go up there and pick from the Penn States and the Notre Dames. Oklahoma got a couple from up there, but he was even Tennessee, John, you guys got one from up in Ohio this past year, but he really got a lot of success by going up there. And that's what's really going to happen. You're going to see that on down the field next year. And to some accounts this year with the program you have on the field, it's going to be a young team still, but you know, he realized that let's go somewhere where there's less competition. If you look at Lexington and its ability to get to Ohio, you get to Cincinnati in an hour from Lexington. So it makes it an easy drive for a lot of those folks. It's not like they have to go very far. You could get in most places in Ohio quicker than you could to Michigan or some of the other places in the Big Ten. So he did a really good job of selling that up north, and I think that's going to pay dividends on down the road. You know, we had a quarterback battle and the sophomore, redshirt sophomore, Patrick Towles came in, earned that job. That was announced, I think, last week. But what that really does is it lets Kentucky fans sit here and we cross our fingers because we want him to do well, but we also don't want him to get hurt, because waiting in the wings in this competition was the freshman Drew Barker, who big things are expected of. And it was a very, very tight race. But Patrick Towles really showed that he deserved the starting position up there. And so now there's a red shirt sitting there on Drew Barker's back. And if we can hold that on there, there's a very, very good chance that he's going to set out next year if Patrick does well. That's going to give him 2 more seasons as a quarterback apparent, or to come in and do, you know, help out if Patrick gets if Patrick gets injured next year. So we're just sitting here crossing our fingers, hoping that he stays healthy as well as the rest of the program. Because like Ole Miss, we've talked about them on the podcast previously, depth is going to be an issue. You know, we're starting to get some really nice players into certain areas, but we're really, really thin. So it's going to come down to, can we be strong? Can we be healthy? Can we get a few breaks to go our way, especially on the defensive side of the ball?
So it seems like you touched on it a little bit already, but as we've started with almost every other SEC program, it seems like in these previews, decision at quarter game district. Tell us a little bit more about who the candidates were and who won and what you expect from the person that won that. Do you think you have a quarterback on campus that's capable of winning right now?
Yeah, I mean, he had some really good games as a freshman. It was Patrick Towles that won it. I mean, he's a big kid, 6'5", 230, 240. So he's not a small kid back there. And you really like to see some height like that on the quarterback. And we've got a really, really pretty good experienced offensive line. So you're going to give him some time. You're also going to have a pretty decent running game. We've got, you know, we can go 5 deep basically with running backs to throw in there. You know, you've got Boom Williams, Mikael Horton, JoJo Kemp, and Hurd. I mean, you've got 4 guys that are going to definitely see action running the ball. But with Towles being the quarterback, you know, he showed really good signs that first year as a freshman. With Max Smith going down injured, he came in and had to take the reins. Last year we were able to redshirt him. You know, and then we got Drew Barker, a big, huge freshman. And Towles is a Kentucky kid, so we always are going to root for these guys. But, you know, it was a really tough battle. I mean, like most of these SEC schools, the announcements are coming late on who the quarterbacks are. But, you know, Stoops came out and said, this is our guy. You know, he doesn't have to worry about it. He's not on a short rope. Was one of the things I heard him say in one of his press conferences. So he's going to give him the ball, and it's his team. And so that truly does mean that something's going to have to happen where he's going to have to get hurt or the season's got to really be tanking for Drew Barker to have to burn that red shirt, because you still have Max Smith and Reese Phillips as backup quarterbacks.
That's what I was going to ask. Is the number two still Maxwell Smith if something were to happen?
I honestly think he's number three in this situation, because Reese Phillips was doing some competition there, and probably going to be your number two backup there.
But is Drew Barker kind of the one that everyone thinks is that potential star quarterback, or is Towles capable of being that guy?
They both are. I mean, they're both four-star recruits coming out. They both were highly touted guys coming in. Kentucky had big expectations for both of them. So, you know, I mean, while Barker, everybody's just super excited about, it's not like Kentucky fans are upset that he didn't get the job. I think they're excited for the fact that, you know, all of a sudden we've got depth in quarterback, that if things work out and the stars align for Kentucky for once, you know, we've got a quarterback for the next 4 to 5 years set up in a pipeline started. And that's something, if you're a Kentucky fan or know anything about Kentucky football, of all the problems we've had, that's our number one problem, is having a stable quarterback in that position that can throw the ball. You know, we've had that issue for a number of years as far as having reliability at the quarterback position. So it's encouraging to have that set there and to know that you got a quarterback that you can depend on, and that he's there. And he really, really worked hard in the offseason to work on some things that the coaches said, hey, these are where you're lacking. We need you to get better in these particular areas. And it's mostly in mechanics, and he really worked on those things. And so the coaches have been real impressed from what they've seen from him, and everything I've heard out of Lexington's been good. So,
okay, so what about the rest of the skill positions? You touched on the running backs a little bit earlier. I think somewhat they're a little about maybe who's going to be a playmaker. Is that accurate?
I'm sorry, they're Britain. Playmakers outside the quarterback, is that what you were saying?
Yeah, I think I read they're pretty happy with what they have at running back, but a little concerned about who might be a playmaker at receiver. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think it's so much that we just don't know what we have. You know, you don't know till you don't know. And we've got some talent at the wide receiver. We've got Timmons. We've got Javess Blue, who's got some experience. He was one of our leading receivers last year. DeMarco Robinson is one of the wide receivers, as well as Herrick. So we've got, you know, I think 7 or 8 wide receivers. Half of those had good experiences last year and some good time on the field. It's just we're just not sure what we have right there and how strong that – because let's face it, if you're from Kentucky, you know, they're bringing back the air raid. You know, we're going back to mummy ball and that pass happy type of, and that's where Maxwell Smith doesn't really fit in. He's more of that mobile type quarterback. He's not that drop back, huge arm, throw it down the field for an 88 yard touchdown. And that's what they want to try to do at Kentucky this year. And let's just hope they've got the wheels and the wide receivers position to do that.
Will they move him around?
I think they will, yeah.
So, John, I'll be interested for your take on this as an opposing fan. I'm excited that Kentucky's going back to the air raid, because I think, you know, the type of thing that a team with a big talent gap needs to do. We talked about it at length here in Nashville before Franklin got here about how Vanderbilt should try something. Maybe it's the triple option or an air raid type of approach, because you kind of have to equalize not having that talent. And Stoops is bringing in talent now, but they still got a couple of years of recruiting to kind of catch up to the rest of the conference. So I'm excited to see that approach as a Tennessee fan. Does that make you nervous? What do you think about the air raid approach and the Tim Couches and the Craig Yeasts of the world coming back to the SEC?
Well, I'll be honest, as a Tennessee fan, I'd rather see passing than any type of running attack. It seems like against any mobile quarterback over the last, since I've been a fan, we've always done pretty poor. So, you know, for me, I think pass happy attacks are, it's just more exciting to watch. And, you know, I think it's always good when teams in the SEC approve and, you know, the talent gets the playing field gets a little bit more even. I mean, you look this year, I mean, you have Mississippi State, Ole Miss, they're both going to be good. And when was the last time that, you know, you could say that both of those teams in the same year are going to be good? And, you know, a team like Kentucky, I mean, I think it's kind of the same situation as Tennessee. I mean, as much as I hate to say this, you're rooting just to get better. You know, you're rooting to maybe get into a bowl game, just, you know, see some improvement. And, you know, I think that, you know, Stoops is a good coach. He's proven that everywhere he's been. He's a really good defensive quarterback. I mean, like I said, I think that, you know, it's good overall for the conference for them to get better. And, you know, especially against Tennessee, I think that the passing attack is probably something that we'd like to see a little bit more.
Shane, what's the Kentucky fans' take on going back to this air raid? Are they excited?
When it first was announced that they were trying to do that last year, they had 50,000 show up to a spring game. You know, that broke all kinds of records. This year they had 35,000 at a spring game, and I bet they probably could have hit closer to 50, but, you know, Kentucky decided to put $120 million in renovating Commonwealth Stadium, so, you know, half of the stadium was unusable. So by all accounts, you know, it was a very successful spring game. So to say they're excited about it, I want to think that I saw over 40,000 season tickets were sold as of last week. I can't remember how many it was when Joker was there the last year, but I mean, that was the number was, I would think, half of that. And that was a real concern for, you know, the AD and everybody at Kentucky, but that's not a case right now. Even with the same record the Joker had, everybody is excited about what Kentucky's going to be putting on the field this year.
And I'm sure it also helps that, you know, your neighbors, an hour up the road, you know, they're doing pretty well as well right now.
Yeah, we always love that. It's they need to get their win this year because it might not happen next year. You know, their coach might be taking motorcycle rides with volleyball players, and who knows what'll happen to them.
Well, it seems like the excitement level, just in general, and you also touched on this a little bit in the beginning, Shane, but, you know, a new coach always injects life into the program. Stoops obviously brings that name has some cachet in the college football world. He had success himself. It's not just his brother that did it. He's had success with Florida State. And then the recruiting, I mean, as an outsider, probably even as an insider, Shane, the recruiting was the most shocking thing about this whole thing. I mean, they beat Alabama for a 5-star defensive tackle in Matt Elam, and that's just not something to even begin to think about with Kentucky football. So all of that combined with, you know, the return to the air raid offense, I mean, there's definitely a lot, even if it's not immediately translating into a ton of wins, because I think there's a lot of building to do there. There's a lot to be excited about because this is historical recruiting for Kentucky, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I already said that when I looked at the number of 4-stars we got out of the state of Ohio last year, you know, that matched the last, 5 years or something that we'd been able to pull in that type of recruit. So it's unprecedented area that we're getting into as far as the recruiting, and that's only going to build depth. I mean, for us to be 10th in the SEC in recruiting last year doesn't speak volumes, but when you look and see that in some situations that's a top 20 recruiting class, that's big for Kentucky and Kentucky fans to have that kind of depth. That at least gets you in the arena where you can be competitive.
And I'm sure the part of the reason for some of that success in Ohio has to do with just the success of the league, the SEC as a whole. Have the coaches or players that have signed talked about the fact that, yeah, it's Kentucky, but it's SEC, and I'd rather play at a program that's building in the SEC than a power program in, you know, in the Big Ten. Has that come up publicly, or is that kind of
No, there's to say that the coaches that are recruiting the state of Ohio, especially the one from the Ohio campus up there that lost a quarterback, he who will not be named.
Thank you.
I don't care. I'm not afraid of him. I think he's a punk. I think he's just low down scum.
He's one step below that guy that coaches at Penn State.
I don't think highly of Urban Meyer and the way he does things. Just trouble follows him. I mean, he left Florida in shambles and left there because he knew he was on a sinking ship. He was like rats just jumping off. You know, they look for dry land, and he landed Ohio State, and he lands just on a cushion of feathers. But, you know, I mean, folks like him are talking bad about Kentucky. You know, if you go there, you're not gonna win. You're not gonna play for anything. There's no championship in your future. You know, and these recruits are saying that they're getting this left and right, and it's like, we understand what Kentucky has to offer. We know what their future is. What can you provide for us? So they're getting it, and they're giving those coaches pushback that are being recruited by Kentucky. So yeah, they're definitely getting that. And like you said, it's a chance to play in the SEC. I mean, who hasn't sat there and put their television set on 1738 every time they walk in when you're in Nashville? That's Comcast SEC Network. That's the first place I go. My TV stays on that. I couldn't tell you the last time I watched SportsCenter. I would rather watch SEC Now replay five times than SportsCenter. I'm really tepid on Major League Baseball right now. I'm a Cubs fan, so there's not a lot to root for in that. So it's the NFL and it's SEC football, and I get a full dose of it with the SEC Network. You know, you can flip it on and you get all these old games. SEC Storied was on tonight. You love him or you hate him, Spurrier's the man. You know, it was a great piece that Kenny Chesney put together with Sean Silva on Spurrier. So you have all of this stuff. That's recruiting in and of itself when you're able to say, this is what we bring. I mean, it's in, what, 80 million homes? So you're going to be seen. It doesn't matter if you play for Kentucky. You're going to be seen. How often are you going to be seen if you play for Ohio State or play for somebody else that's recruiting you? So, yeah, we have that. And the fact that it's close. You get, you know, like I said, an hour to Cincinnati. Well, you get seven to eight home games a year. That means a lot to the parents to not only see their kid play in the SEC, but to physically go get to watch their kids play. That's a big thing. That's a big recruiting tool. It's a lot easier for Kentucky to be able to do that than a Texas A&M or an Arkansas or a Mississippi State, because now all of a sudden that's a big travel. It's not that long of a travel to go, you know, just down I-75 to Lexington.
Yeah, that's a good point. Ohio is a very fertile recruiting area anyway, and for it to be, you know, you're closer to Ohio than obviously to Florida or Georgia or Alabama, some of the other fertile recruiting areas in the SEC. So definitely Stoops smart to take advantage of that.
And we're also getting into Texas. I mean, some of the last three assistants that we brought on have all been from Texas Tech or Rice, or, you know, they've had this history down there in Texas. And Stoops has, you know, history still at Texas from his days there as a defensive coordinator down at Tech. So there's lots to be excited for down south as well. So now you can get down there and tap your feet into that. Doesn't mean that you're going to spend all your time in Texas, but you still have that open to you as well, because there's been lots of inroads from all those coaches being there.
So transitioning back to who's going to be on the field this year, it seems like if you have one area to be really confident in, it would be offensive line. Am I correct that there are four or five starters returning from last year, and are they good starters, or are they just guys that are coming back?
Yeah, no, they're good starters. You're getting, you know, 20 plus starts on two of the guys, and one guy was a freshman last year and started most of the season. So you're getting some experience there on the offensive line. You're going to get the ability to give the quarterback some time. You're also going to be able to give some holes for the running backs. So from the offensive side, it's a matter of that we can do well. Defensively, you know, there's still some things to be worried about. In my opinion, it's the linebacking core. We're really, really thin. We've got a couple of guys in there that can do okay. But after that, it gets kind of scary. You've had to move some safeties in, some corners over. So the linebacking core is where we're going to be the most concerned, if you want my opinion on it. As far as if I had to be concerned about anything, it's our linebacking core.
Well, you're replacing Avery Williamson, who was a 100-plus tackle guy. Are you saying there's not an heir apparent there, just not much depth there?
There's just not much depth. I mean, you've got Bud Dupree, who by all accounts, I mean, Stoops thinks he's a first-round draft choice.
Anytime a defensive end is number two, he's got to be pretty dang good.
Well, if you look at Dupree, he got to pick that number. He was a tight end, I think, originally on the offensive side, and they wanted him to go over to the defensive side, and he said, you know, I want to pick my number, and they gave him that option. So that's why he's got the number two.
I always like it when big guys the single digits. They look cool.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so let's stay on that defense. You also lost two massive defensive tackles last year who were pretty productive, did a decent job at stuffing up the run. You mentioned Bud Dupree. I think he's probably who you have the most confidence in coming back on defense. So what else at that defensive line do you have that, you know, where are your concerns, where are your positive points, all of that good stuff?
Well, you've got Bud. You've got Jason Hatcher, who's going to be a defensive end, and then you've got Za'Darius Smith on the other defensive end spot. You're going to have Matt Elam on the line. And you know, as a freshman five-star, like you said, that was recruited by Saban down there in Alabama, Stoops is pretty happy with him. He says that, you know, he's still doing freshman things, but he's really improving. He's wanting to work hard. And I think he's going to be seeing the field as a starter day one. On that line. And
really?
Yes, and he's listed at what, 6'5", 327? I'm trying to...
6'7".
6'7". You know, he's just a massive beast.
I was thinking he's bigger than 327. Is that what they're listing him at? I thought he was like 350.
Did you guys see that picture of him standing next to Jared Lorenzen recently?
Yes,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, he looked tame.
I'm sorry, I got my number. 6'7", 375.
There we go. I thought it was bigger than that.
Big old boy.
Yeah. So
and he's 18. That's an 18-year-old, and he's that big, too. That's ridiculous.
Scary.
Yeah, they've got him listed as a 2-deep. Right now he's not starting. He's sitting behind Melvin Lewis. But he's going to see lots and lots of playing time on the defensive side.
He's not going to be able to replace the all-name team defensive tackle, who he may replace position-wise, but he won't be able to replace his name. That's Mr. Cobble.
Yeah, no, Mr. Really, yeah. Doesn't get much better than that, does it?
Yeah, that's his first name, people, is Mr. We're not saying that this is Mr. Cobble, with Mr. being the the first, you know, the intro to a sir's name. Mr. is his name. Mr.
That is
Cobble.
Not his surname. That is his name.
Yeah, surname. That was what I was trying to think of. Okay, I read another interesting stat on the secondary last year. It was only responsible for one interception. That doesn't mean the entire team. The secondary by itself responsible for one interception.
And that was the last game. Last game of the season.
The last game of the year.
Yeah.
I believe Stoops has sort of came up through the defensive back ranks before he made it to defensive coordinator. You correct me if I'm wrong there, but is there hope that that's going to be a better unit this year?
Yeah, I mean, the defensive side of the ball all around is going to be better. I mean, if you look at Stoops, that's what he's going to bring in. He's even though he's the head coach, he's going to be, you know, that's his baby's the defense. So you're going to see a lot of emphasis on him, and you're going to see his prints, his handprints all over the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you look to where he came from. He came from Florida State 2 years ago. They had a top 10 defense in the country. You know he's going to want to do something similar here again when he gets to Kentucky. I don't know if he can get to a top 10, but, you know, you go from the hundreds and 90s in almost every defensive category. You know, just like Tennessee this year, they want to make some big strides in what they do. You know, yours was giving up yards per carry. You know, we want to make some strides in those areas as well and cut those numbers down.
Oh, definitely. I was going to say about the defensive backs, I believe 2 or 3 of those 4-star recruits were cornerbacks. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, are they starting day one, or are they going to be kind of do you guys play? Is it are you guys in a 3-4, right?
Yeah, when you look at our corners and safeties, they're all juniors and seniors that's going to get the nod. So you've got Cody Quinn and A.J. Stamps. Tiller and Quinn are going to be your corners, and then Lowry and Stamps. A.J. Stamps and Ashley Lowry are going to be your safeties. So you're looking at 3 juniors and a senior there that's going to be in that backfield.
Okay.
All right. Is there anything else about the roster before we jump into schedule and start looking at games for the rest of the season, Shane or John, that y'all want to talk about with Kentucky?
No,
I mean, this is a broken record for the SEC this season, but it's like the wins and losses aren't going to be vastly improved, but you're going to see a better product on the field. And that's definitely going to be the case with Kentucky. But, you know, when you only have 2 wins, there's a lot of room to improve, and it doesn't take much to get vast improvements. You know, you go to 4 wins, and all of a sudden you've got a 50% improvement, 100% improvement in wins right there.
Well, since you brought that up before we get into the schedule, obviously it's still very early in the Stoops regime. There's a lot of excitement about his recruiting. Is there a minimum number of wins that he needs to get to for the fans to, you know, be happy, not be upset, or is he still kind of on the honeymoon period right now and it really they could go 1-11 and no one would really raise an eyebrow right now?
No, I mean, there's teams on the schedule that we need to beat. I mean, UT Martin, who we kick off the season with at Lexington, you know, they've got, Favre's nephew is quarterback. And they've taken some teams in the past. But, you know, that's a team that we have to dispose of if you're Kentucky. So they're going to have to take care of teams like that. And Ohio University that they have, ULM. Those 3, you know, your cupcake out of conference stuff, they have to win those this year. They can't lose those like they did to Western last year. I mean, that's where they lost, you know, one of their out of conference games. They lost to both Kentucky teams, Louisville and Western, last year. Thankfully, they don't have Western on the schedule this year. But you know, those you've got to pick up those 3 wins and look to steal 1 or 2. And if you can, that's awesome. But I think if you can get to 3 wins, and Kentucky fans are going to be okay as long as they're playing competitive. You want to see improvement in that. You know, you don't want to see as many double-digit losses. You want to see those close games. And you started to see that improvement as the season wore on. That point differential got tighter and tighter. Even though there still wasn't wins put up on the board, they were becoming more and more competitive. And I think as long as you see that, as a Kentucky fan, you know that still things are coming. Next year's going to be even better. So I think if you get 3 wins and they're staying competitive, there's no problems there.
I know that's how I feel about the Titans this year. I just want them to be playing meaningful football by the second week of November, and I'll consider it a successful season. Just for a little NFL analogy there. Well, you already mentioned UT Martin. Normally, games like that we don't spend a ton of time on in these podcasts, and I'm sure you don't know a ton about UT Martin, but since we don't think there's going to be a ton of wins on the schedule for Kentucky, do you want to talk about that one anymore, or are you saying that they really have to win that enough analysis for now?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the line, but you got to think they're going to be 2 touchdown favorites at a home game. There shouldn't be any reason at all why they don't win that game. Doesn't mean they can. Anything's possible with Kentucky. I've learned that over my years, but that should definitely be a win in their favor.
John, you got anything on that one?
No, I would agree. Also, it'd be you know, I think that there's pretty much no reason that you guys shouldn't win your first 2.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can say about it is I know that the quarterback there is his Favre's nephew.
Oh, Dylan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I would echo that, and I would extend that to maybe not quite as much to the Ohio game because they're at least a school that's on TV sometimes. But it's a lot. It's very similar to the Tennessee situation, in my opinion. A lot of momentum, great recruiting. People are starting to believe in this coach. But Tennessee's got not an easy game against Utah State. That is a game that I expect them to win, but they could absolutely lose.
Yeah, or Arkansas State, for that matter. I mean, you know, both of them. Yeah, I mean, you got Chucky Heaton to start, not to get on a Tennessee tangent. And
no,
then, you know, you're playing Arkansas State, who's done fairly well over the past, you know, 3 to 4 years. And so, you know, it's tough. But, I mean, you know, I think just like Shane said, I think that, you know, I think it's obviously the goal of every Tennessee fan to – I mean, if somebody told you it wasn't our goal to go to a bowl game, they'd be lying. But I think that, you know, if let's say you go 5-7, but you play competitively in, you know, every game, you know, I think that it would be okay. But, I mean, I think that Jones today made a comment. He expects to play 28 freshmen on the game on Saturday or Sunday.
I heard him say that.
Yeah, 28 out of 31 recruits, is that right? 33? I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's where you're, from a Tennessee standpoint, it's just the experience that Utah brings. It's got to be – that's where you've got to be worried, is that balance that you're going to have with so many new players versus so much experience on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, obviously, you know, Chucky Heaton, he's coming off of the ACL injury, and I'm not trying to get on a Tennessee tangent right now. Sorry to get away from Kentucky.
You weren't able to make the Tennessee podcast. We'll give you a couple minutes.
Yeah, you know, I think it's like the same as everybody. I mean, you have talent there, but it's going to be, you know, I think this is the year you're going to see how good of a coach Jones is, because, I mean, you have the talent. You really should win probably 5 games. I mean, enough, and then, you know, you have to go steal one probably from somebody. But it's going to be a good season. It's going to be fun. I mean, we do have some experience. I mean, you got a senior quarterback. Offensive line is a huge question, obviously, as is defensive line. I mean, we lost, you know, the entire on both. But like I said, you have good athletes, and I expect it to be a fun season, if nothing else.
All right, so moving on to September. Well, do we need to talk about Ohio, or did you feel like you covered
that?
That's
a win.
Don't want to skip over them. Okay, so moving on, September 13th, the first big-time test of the season, going at Florida. We've talked at length about how we just really don't know what to expect from Florida this season. John, I'll let you kick this one off.
Well, I mean, I just think, you know, Florida, we'll see. I think they're going to be, you know, probably – 8-4-ish, 7-5 type year. You know, again, it's Florida. They're going to have, when they step onto the field, they're going to have as good, if not better, athletes than whoever they're playing. But I think it all comes down to, you know, can you execute? And, you know, obviously I think that I'm not a Florida fan, but I would assume that they, you know, they're pretty disappointed in what's gone on there the last few years. I mean, Muschamp, what was he? Was it two or 3 years ago? They were 10-2, and then they've kind of been, you know, a little bit down. Yeah, and I understand they have injuries and stuff, but I still expect them to thoroughly handle Kentucky this year.
Shane,
I don't like the word thoroughly handle, but unfortunately, Florida has had Kentucky's number. I mean, even last year with all the problems Florida had, Kentucky lost to them 24-7. So they're like some of those other programs, like when we talk about Mississippi State playing LSU, you know, you have to beat them before I can pick them to win. So I'm going to have to say Kentucky's going to lose that one.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting one because Florida has two cupcake games that open the season up, and this is their first, you know, this is their first SEC game, probably really their first chance to make any kind of impression on the college football world, especially the SEC world, first chance for Muschamp to kind of say, I promise I'm a good coach. We can do this. Last year was a fluke. So even though I really don't have a lot of confidence in Florida, I expect them to come out ready to play ball in this game and to kind of dominate as much as a Florida team can dominate right now. I'm still not sold that they're able to dominate people, but I think that they'll they'll play one of their better games of the year here. So I'm going Florida.
Yeah, and it's already the time's already scheduled. It's a night game.
Yeah, on the SEC Network.
So oh, is it?
Yeah,
well, that makes it even tougher.
Yeah, 7:30.
Okay, then we're bye the next week, September 20th, and a big, big game, I think, for Kentucky coming up after that if they want a chance to get to a fourth win. Perhaps one of the SEC programs they have a chance to steal one from. Shane, we'll start with you on this one. Vanderbilt comes to Lexington.
Vanderbilt, from all indications, is going to be improved. I still don't know what to expect with that defense. You know, they're going to be – it's just their fourth or fifth game as well, coming off of a couple of easy games. They're trying to get things put together. But being in Lexington, I think there's a chance that Kentucky can steal one. I'd like to see Kentucky get to four wins, so I'm going to have to say they steal one somewhere. And so at this point, I'm going to have to give Kentucky this win.
Yeah, I think the game will probably be a closer game. You know, you'll be four games into the season. You know, again, I think Vanderbilt's another one of those teams. They lost a lot on offense, for sure. And, you know, how good it really is Pat and Robinette, we'll see. But I'd still give Vandy the slight edge.
Shane, I'm actually going to agree with you on this one. I think Kentucky is going to pull a little bit of a Tennessee last year and beat someone that maybe we're not expecting them to beat. And there are two candidates in my mind. And Vanderbilt is one of them and probably the most likely candidate just because they don't have the talent level that the other SEC, specifically SEC East teams have. So with it being in Lexington, I think Kentucky shocks the world and pulls the upset over Vanderbilt. I'm also just not totally buying Vanderbilt. I think they're going to backslide a little bit, and this might be the beginning of an ugly season for Vanderbilt. All right, so moving right along, October 4th, South Carolina comes in to Lexington.
Just keep moving right along.
Just keep moving right along. Probably not going to be a win. That's probably all I need to say about that. Shane, you want to add anything?
No, it's just. I hope it's not ugly.
John, you got anything?
No, I mean, I think we all feel the same way. But then again, it's like you never know. I mean, you know, South Carolina was a heavy favorite last year coming into Neyland, and, you know, Tennessee found a way to beat them, so you never know.
That's very true. No one in the world predicted Tennessee to win that game last year, so maybe Kentucky has a hope.
Well, I'm sure there was somebody, and they probably live in Knoxville, but but no, on a serious thing, I mean, again, you know, I think how many good teams has Spurrier had, and he always seems to lose one game that, you know, maybe he shouldn't, so. But again, I still think that South Carolina is going to come away with the W.
Well, the only good news realistically is that it is a home game for Kentucky. Last year they only lost by a touchdown at Columbia, so I mean there's always that chance. But I don't think that I just couldn't say that they're going to win that game either.
All right, next up is ULM Louisiana Monroe on October 11th. Now, this is a ULM team that has given a few SEC programs trouble in the past 2 years, beat Arkansas a couple of years ago, was a hair away from beating Auburn. I'm guessing that quarterback is probably gone by now because he would be one of those 20-year college guys if he's still there. Shane, I don't know if you know that. I would be impressed if you did. But is there any concern here that ULM still has the chops to test or even beat an SEC program?
I don't think so. I'm trying to remember Blair would know that. And I think he told us earlier that guy's gone at one of the earlier podcasts. I could be wrong. But Kentucky's a different program than Arkansas. For what they were doing last year, Arkansas seems like they never were able to gain ground and get better, whereas Kentucky was always continually getting better throughout the season, even though they weren't getting wins. So I don't see them having the same kind of issues that Arkansas would have against a ULM team, or even 2 years ago with John L. And that program. I mean, you're looking at Arkansas program that was basically given up. That's not going to be the case with Kentucky. It should be a win.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, you know, Louisiana Monroe, they're, you know, I'm gonna go Kentucky by two touchdowns in that one.
I like it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point about sort of the motivation factor. I think Kentucky realizes that they're going to be scratching and clawing and fighting for every win they can get, and they're not overlooked teams like this, and they're trying to build this program into something that, well, first of all, into something that it was a couple of years ago, being a bowl eligible program, and into something even more than that, hopefully. And I think that they're going to be prepared for teams like ULM, because those are the teams that they need to be able to beat right now. So they're not going to look past them. So I've got a win there as well.
And not to backtrack, guys, but I also just noticed that, Kentucky does have a bye week before Vanderbilt. So you never know. And they're going to play South Carolina the week before. So, you know, that might be a good opportunity. Vanderbilt's going to be coming off playing South Carolina. And then they're going to have to turn around and play Kentucky, and Kentucky will have that bye week. So
That's a good point. Even more reasons for me to predict the upset. Book it.
Book it. Wow. Love it.
Whoa.
Just don't put any real money on it, because I'm not that confident. Okay, October 18th. So we go from one Louisiana program to one who's basically on equal footing. They're pretty much same tier of football program. Both have the same type of history. Maybe one's a little bit better than the other. That would be the Louisiana State University Tigers, and it's in Death Valley. Any chance they come out of there with a win, or with at least their dignity intact?
Maybe their dignity intact. Not a win.
Yeah, I'm going to have to
agree with that. I just hope the Mad Hatter takes it easy on you guys that game.
Okay, so I think we've all got LSU winning that one. Mississippi State, October 25th, comes to Lexington. This is a big draw for Mississippi State. We've talked a lot about how the Mississippi schools are up this year, and a lot of that has to do with the schedule that they drew. No offense, Shane, but this is one of the reasons that Mississippi State has a better chance at a 9-win season, because they draw Kentucky from the east. You know how high I am on Mississippi State. Do you feel the same way? How do you feel about this Mississippi State game?
Yeah, it's this is our west opponent from Kentucky. So we've gotten to know Dak and Dan and the rest of the guys over at State pretty well over the last number of years here, but that program is on the rise. It's improved, but they're at a different level than Kentucky is right now. I think even coming to Lexington, it's going to be a tough game for Mississippi State, but I still think they're going to get the win.
Yeah, I agree. I'm gonna go with Mississippi State on this. They're just a better team, and they also are going to be coming off the bye. So
yeah, we're all in agreement there. I've got Mississippi State as well. So we'll move on to the next one. November 1st, Kentucky travel to Columbia, Missouri to play at Missouri. John, you want to kick this one off?
Here comes another one. This could be a possible, if as Shane was speaking before, you hope that every team is going to, win one they shouldn't. You guys picked maybe a win over Vandy. I don't know. That line could be pretty even. It's going to be tough. I don't know. I'm going to go with I'm going to say that they're going to upset Missouri at Missouri. I don't really know why. I just don't think Missouri is as good as they were last year. I always like to pick at least one upset. So there it is.
There it is. Shane?
If it was at Rupp Arena, I would pick Kentucky.
If it was at
Commonwealth, I might pick Kentucky. But it's not at either one of those locations. So we're traveling to Columbia. I think we're going to lose.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, John, that I think Missouri is going to come back to the real world a little bit this season. I think they're probably a 7 or 8 win team, but I don't think they lose this game, especially with it being a home game for the Tigers. I've got Missouri winning this one.
That's a pretty good little stretch you all got right there. Mississippi, LSU, Mississippi State, Missouri, and then the next team, Georgia.
Yeah, I guess that would be your killer SEC stretch, Shane. We always talk about that on these schedules. Every team has a 3-5 game stretch that's just kind of the murderer's row, and it looks like it starts for Kentucky with at LSU on October 18th. And the next one up is November 8th, Georgia coming to Lexington.
And it doesn't matter where they play that game.
I kind of agree there. I think Georgia's probably coming out of the East for the SEC this year, so they're going to beat Kentucky no matter where they're playing.
They're my pick for the East as well. So, I mean, if I pick them to win the East, they're going to have to beat Kentucky.
Yeah, Georgia.
Yeah. Then November 15th at Tennessee. John, you're the UT guy. We'll let you kick that one off.
Well, again, I don't, you know, personally, I don't really think where it matters where this game is played at. But, I think by that time, I think, you know, the Tennessee freshmen will have played 10 games. They're going to be, a little bit more seasoned. And I like Tennessee to roll. I think that, it's been really close the last couple of years. And I'm sure that, you know, Butch is going to have them pretty fired up. And, at least we don't have that other guy that, you know, coaches wide receivers for the Cowboys now.
I loved that guy.
I liked it. Yeah, I bet you did. Everybody did, besides Tennessee fans. I think the only person that really actually liked him in the SEC was Nick Saban.
He recommended him.
Yeah, thanks for that. But no, I'll take Tennessee.
All right, Shane.
Yeah, it pains me to have to pick Tennessee. I just if this was turned around, you know, Kentucky might win this by running the ball and not completing a pass, and do it with a wide receiver at quarterback.
Yeah, no joke, or anybody that can run.
But those stars have aligned once for Kentucky this decade. Next year we might be able to do it, but this year we're still a year away.
I've got Tennessee as well, but Tennessee just made me nervous. I could see this being a close game. John already mentioned replacing the entire lines of scrimmage on both sides. I've talked about that several times when Tennessee has come up in one of these, and I'm nervous for them because of that and because of what 27, 28 freshmen, however many you just said, true freshmen that we'll see playing. It is a good point that it's later in the season, so they'll be a bit more seasoned. But, you know, you have some injuries and you have freshmen that shouldn't be playing that are playing. I could see this being a little closer than Tennessee fans want it to be, but I've still got Tennessee winning it.
It probably also depends a little bit, too, how close we are to a bowl game. You know, at that point in the season, that could also, you know, have a little bit of indication of how the game goes.
Yeah, because there's definitely a chance that Tennessee is fighting for a bowl berth with a win here, and that obviously is extra motivation.
I would go with definitely on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've got Kentucky followed by Vanderbilt. Is that right?
Yeah, we always end with the two of them. I'm not really checking up real quick. But, yes, I think.
That's changed because we used to play Tennessee last, and we now have Louisville.
It was always on Thanksgiving, or right around there is when we played each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got Vanderbilt last, November 29th.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
And that used to
be by the way, I also like us in that game.
Okay, Shane, so this, let's see. We are 11 games in, and I think we've all got Kentucky with 4 wins to this point, correct? We've all got them at 4-7, but with Shane and I have them beating Vanderbilt, and John has them beating, excuse me, Missouri. So that leads up to the final game of the year against the hated Louisville Cardinals. Shane, we'll let you go last on this to close it out with Louisville. Petrino is a really good coach, and Louisville was already strong under Charlie Strong. How'd you like that?
Strong under Strong.
I don't think there's going to be a huge dip there. Petrino usually has to be at a program long enough to ruin their recruiting before they start to not play well. So I think Louisville's going to have a very good season. They're in a weak ACC. They could be a 10-win team pretty easily. Well, it's never easy to win 10, but they could definitely be a 10-win team. This is in Louisville. I don't see how Kentucky can come away with this one. I'm picking Louisville. John, we'll let you go next and let Shane wrap it up.
Yeah, picking Louisville. I think that, you know, I know that their star receiver will be back. He should be back about a week or two before that. That's going to help a lot. You know, it's just, I think it could also just be one of those where Petrino just, you know, hey, I'll show you whose state this is. He might just start running the score up. I'm going to pick Louisville big, actually. by, I'm going to go with by three touchdowns.
That scares me. I mean, Petrino's already got a win against Kentucky in the state when he was at Western. So why not do it again at Louisville? Louisville's just knocking on the door of the top 25 again this year. I don't think they're going to be quite as strong as they were last year. I think there is. This is this game in Tennessee and Missouri are three games that they could steal, as well as the Vanderbilt game we've already talked about. So there's a chance that they could steal these. I don't think they could steal all four of those. That would be improbable. But there's always that chance when you play Louisville. And Louisville might be taking Kentucky for granted because they've been so bad. It just depends on how well Kentucky has performed throughout the season. But I hate to say that we're going to end up with a four-win program, but that's where I've got them targeted for, and I'd love to see myself be wrong on the other way.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've heard this, but I heard that Petrino and Grantham are already at odds, supposedly.
Yeah, I saw that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Two big personalities that aren't getting along, and it sounds like.
Yeah, and it's kind of also interesting. You got Louisville now has, what, 3/4 of the Georgia secondary?
Yeah.
And then Grantham's there. He's got guaranteed money, so.
That's why they won't. That somebody said that the reason that they haven't got rid of, or Petrino hasn't fired him yet, is because of that, how much money he's owed.
Yeah, that's. I have heard those same rumors up there. So who knows? That thing might implode.
It might have been started by John Calipari, though, that rumor. So.
So Shane, do Kentucky and Louisville fans, do they like that this has been moved to the final game of the season, or is it a negative, or does it not matter?
I can only speak.
It's always interesting when a rivalry game gets moved, is why I ask.
I could speak for myself. I'm not a big fan. I don't think.
Would you rather have it in the beginning?
Yeah, I liked it at the beginning. Like it necessarily didn't have to be the first game, but we always played Louisville the first two or three weeks. Because I liked the Tennessee-Kentucky one to end the season. I liked that Thanksgiving game. But when you look at it, Kentucky had an allotment of tickets they sent back to Louisville to say, hey, we're not interested. I think that's the case from Louisville side as well. I mean, they sold their allotment and took them back and are going to sell it out because it's Louisville. It's a home game for them. But I also think that gives an opportunity for some Kentucky fans in Louisville to buy those tickets. You know, when you look at that, that's a sign that it doesn't mean the same. Just that alone, because it's a 45-minute drive from Lexington. It's not like you're traveling all the way across the state and it's a 6-hour drive to go see this game. It's a game that almost any Kentucky fan could get back to their home that night and it not be an issue. So. To me, there's just not the same level of excitement as Kentucky improves. And if all of a sudden, let's just say they do sneak out and they have a chance to be playing for a bowl game or to play spoiler at Louisville and they've done well. Now, all of a sudden, this game can mean something. But right now, it doesn't because Kentucky's not there yet.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. You know, next year or the year after when they're – Kentucky's looking like a 6-win, 7-win team. All of a sudden, this game may have a little bit more panache to it, but right now it's a little bit of a dud if you think you're probably going to be a 4-win program by the end of this season.
Especially when you're good enough to be able to play spoiler against Louisville, who, like you said, will not have a whole lot of a competition in the ACC. And so all of a sudden, you know, that last game could mean more to Louisville than it does for Kentucky, and they do have the chance to play spoiler, so.
Yeah. Well, we've walked through the schedule. We've all got Kentucky at 4-8. We've all predicted a bit of an upset win over an SEC opponent. Is there anything else that either of you want to add about Kentucky before we call this thing done?
No, not me. I'm just, you know, I'm sure Shane's looking forward to basketball season right around the corner, and that's pretty much about it.
I haven't even gotten your thoughts about what do you think about the old ball coach headed down to Auburn, playing a little basketball down there, having a top five recruiting class. Is that right?
Yeah, they're number three right now. You know, I think it's just, you know, as a Tennessee fan, obviously, it's just a shame that he, that, you know, it stinks that he's there. And I would obviously rather him have been anywhere else. Yeah, I would rather him have been anywhere else in the country besides in the SEC. But I think people knew. I think that they understood that he was going to probably, or at least I thought he would either come back to the SEC or Boston College would be the only two places that I think he would go. And, you know, it's interesting that it doesn't really surprise me with Auburn that, you know, they took somebody with a few character issues, but he's a great coach, and you know, he's going to do well. And I mean, you know, it seems like they're putting money into the basketball program. You know, I'm not again, like I've said, I'm not a, you know, I don't know. It's tough because you say, you know, he's going to do well there because he does well everywhere he's at. But it's going to be hard to root for him.
Yeah, that's the sentiment I've gotten from most Tennessee fans is that. That they wish him no ill will. They want to see him do well, but they don't want to see him do well against Tennessee.
And yeah, I mean, it's just tough. And, you know, he made a comment the other day. I think he said that you know, he expects Tennessee fans to root for him when they're not playing. I don't know. I just don't know if I'm going to, you know, I'm just one of those fans that I just, you know, it's kind of like once you're gone. And, you know, it stinks because think about the way he left, you know. If he would have just not lied, he would, you know, probably still be the coach there.
At least he doesn't have to change his wardrobe. That's what I always thought.
Yeah, that's true. He just kept all those orange ties. Now I'll just throw on a blue jacket.
Yeah, it just needs a little more navy.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, football is here. It starts tomorrow. And by the time, I guess, Shane gets this posted, it might be tomorrow. If you're listening to this, you're driving to work or you're driving home from work and you're about to get ready to watch football. So it's been awesome previewing these teams. Shane, even though I was the guest host today, I think it would be unfair. I would be remiss to not allow you to sort of sign off on the 14 team season preview since you're the driving force behind all this. So I'll shut up now and let you sign off and carry us into the football season.
Awesome. Thanks, Britton. Thanks so much. This has been fun. It's different sitting on the other side here. Having to be responsible for knowing what you're talking about at least halfway. And that's all I can say is I halfway knew what I was talking about. Guys, that does wrap up our 14-team marathon of a football preview. We've previewed all 14 teams over the course of, I guess, 3 weeks or so. Does that sound right, Britton, or did we do four?
It may have been four, maybe three and a half. We'll call it three and a half.
But it was a marathon run, so a lot of podcasts that have gotten recorded over the last few weeks. I want to thank all my hosts that were able to sacrifice and be on multiple times in a given week to do this. We do return to normal, so you're going to see a weekly podcast coming out. We will talk about the games that have happened over the next couple days coming up, then take a look forward and see what we've got coming up up ahead of us, and then take a look at those and give our opinions. That's what we're here to do. So, guys, we appreciate you listening, watching, commenting, following, all the things that you do keep us doing what we do. And with that, we are going to call this podcast done.